You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, good morning. We are starting a new series today, Start Cheating, and we've heard some more about that, and we'll be doing this over the next 2 months. But this morning I have with me a special guest, Mr. Danny Solers from the, not to be confused with Wayne Newton, but the Newton-Wayne Fire Department. He's also happens to be Tara's dad, Tara Donahue's father, and Kaya's grandfather, all that whole deal with the family. So, but he is here and has volunteered as a firefighter, obviously, but also volunteered to answer some questions and talk to me about some things today. So go ahead so we can talk. You can take off your mask best as you can there. Wow, there's a lot of gear there. Somewhere there's a microphone in here, and so we're working on it. For all of you that are listening to this online, this is for you, okay, so that you can hear it. No pressure.
Okay.
There we go. You got it back there? You got the mic? Okay.
You got me?
All right, we're good. All right, thank you. Just some questions for you about this. Obviously, you're a firefighter, and you just lost your mic there. Let's see if we can give you a little more length on it. There you go. All right, thank you. This is important, what you're wearing,
very
right?
Very important, yeah.
Okay, so I just have some questions for you. First of all of that gear, how long does it take to put it on?
To have it completely on with your air pack, breathing air, you're supposed to have it on 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. Wow, okay. Now, it looks like it weighs what, a couple ounces?
About 60 pounds.
60 pounds worth of gear there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. So you've got 2 minutes to put on 60 pounds worth of gear. That's pretty fast. Can you kind of give us a quick rundown of the different major parts there? You don't need to tell us about every little piece of
reflective gear. Well, of course, you've got your full turnout gear, which is fireproof, and you've got your air pack, which is it'll do 30 minutes of air.
Okay.
But for a guy like me, I use it up in 15.
Okay.
Because I get excited.
All right.
I use up my air faster than the young guys.
And then you've got obviously the helmet, mm-hmm. and then gloves, and some other interesting little things. Isn't that like that alarm thing?
Yes, this is what they call a pass device. It lets you know when you're getting low on air.
Okay.
Or if you should become trapped and you don't move for like 15 seconds, this alarm will go off and it'll let the other firefighters know that you're in trouble.
Okay. Okay. So that's kind of important too, mm-hmm. obviously, if you get hurt. So what if you skip a part?
You can't.
So you couldn't just go in and say, I like the pants, but I'm not dealing with the jacket today?
Yeah, you have to have the total package.
All right, like one glove, not the other glove? No. Michael Jackson?
No.
Okay. All right, so that didn't work. I guess my question is you're wearing 60 pounds of gear. It takes a lot of work to put them on.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that those 2 minutes could be lives that are saved. So why not skip the gear and just run right into the fire, just, all natural, at least maybe with some clothes on?
No, exactly. You got to wait for the fire company to arrive. You can't go in yourself. Because if there was going to be one casualty, more likely there was going to be two.
Well, you're a trained firefighter, though, right?
Yeah.
So why do you need the gear? Why don't you just go in without it?
You can't do it either. It doesn't matter who you are or how good you think you are. You can't do it. You got to have the proper attire.
So would you say that having, you said you have 15 minutes at least of air, that's obviously a good thing to have in a building full of smoke. Mm-hmm. And just going on your own, you obviously would have less than that. Mm-hmm. And what is what's the fire, like how long does that hold up the flames and things like that?
Depending on the situation. Just a matter of minutes, actually.
Okay.
You
just need to keep moving.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously, like your cotton T-shirt there would probably last a little bit less than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most important thing in a fire is to stay as low as possible.
Okay.
Because that's where the least amount of heat is.
Okay.
Like every couple of feet you go up, it changes in several hundred degrees.
Wow.
So if you're ever caught in a fire, stay to the floor and crawl out or whatever you got to do. Don't stand up.
All right, now you know that. So
that's where all the superheated gas and all the toxic smoke is. 9 times out of 10, if you're trying to go out walking out, you're not going to make it out because of the smoke. If you get down, there's usually some, you know, clear air, you know, a couple of feet off the floor.
And so then all that gear obviously is used to put out the fire, but also to rescue people that might be trapped in the fire.
Right.
So it's kind of important.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, I saw you came in, you had the full mask on. I don't know if you guys all saw him with the mask. I've got my own mask, too. And, you know, I think this is a breathing mask that's kind of important as well. This helps with breathing, too. See, it does. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything, but it is May the 4th. So May the 4th be with you. I had to throw that in somehow. All right.
If I was to go in a fire and I seen that, I'd probably leave.
Okay, so there you go. In the event of a fire, do not put on your Darth Vader mask because you might frighten away the firefighters. All right, so obviously the whole thing is, like, it takes some time. It takes some work to put that on. And I'm sure you have to be trained to put that on. You can't just go and
figure
it out.
Hundreds of hours of training that we go through.
Okay.
And of course, no one gets paid for any other, you know, any other time. It's all voluntary.
All right, so that's volunteer labor. All of that just so that you can get the gear on. Because the point is that you want to be able to help someone that's in a fire. You want to be able to put the fire out.
Right.
And without all that equipment, you wouldn't be able to.
And training, right.
And all that
preparedness is the key.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. Why don't we give it up for Mr. Sadale? Right. Stick your hand there. I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. You get it all. I guess you have to. If you can't get the stuff, then.
Another thing. Whenever you're fully dressed, you've got over $6,000 worth of equipment on.
I usually wear that in my shirt.
Just want to throw that out there.
$6,000.
Some of the cost of what, you know.
Wow.
$6,000 for one man.
Well, thank you very much. He's the $6,000 man. So obviously, as Danny there shared with us, it's important to take the time for a firefighter to get their gear on, to take the time to go through. I mean, again, he said 2 minutes from, you know, regular clothes to that outfit to the gear. But you're talking about hours and hours and hours of training to learn how to put all those pieces on, to learn what they all do, to put them in the right spot, because I'm pretty sure that I would not have put those things in the right places. But it's something that they do. And you think about, you know, as I said to him, as he said, as a firefighter, you think, well, why not, you know, why not just rush in? Why not just go in? And then you could save people faster. But ultimately, if you don't take the time now, if he doesn't take the time now to put on the gear, to get the training, he is not going to be able to help anyone later. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, I think we all would agree with that. I think all of us, you know, if in the event of a fire or an emergency, you want to know that the person coming to rescue you is at least able to do it, and that they're taking their time, that they're trained to be able to do that. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. As we start this idea, this series of Start Cheating, the point that I want you to get, just like a firefighter, is that we need to start cheating. We need to make the hard decisions now that will benefit you later. The idea of cheating is this concept of, you know, obviously in a game or you know, you can cheat, you can get extra cards, you can do anything like that. But really, one of the definitions of cheating is let me just say it right, because I did look online to see it. It's you deprive someone or something of what is expected. And so we're not talking these next 2 months about, you know, hey, go out and make sure you can cheat. Cheat on your spouse and make sure you cheat in games and make sure you cheat, you know, wherever you can. Steal money. Like that is not, obviously that's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about this concept of depriving of what is expected. And this whole series, we're going to be looking at this concept. So I'm kind of setting it up today over the next 2 months, talking about giving up something that is expected now for the sake of later. And that's this whole concept of cheating. So each of us, I want you to get it in your mind, because I don't think any of us would question whether a firefighter should do that. You know, and this is something I've talked about this before, but, you know, when you get on a flight, and we're actually, what day is today? Today is May the 4th. I'm awesome. May the 4th, but in a month and 4 days, 2 days, we're going to be flying to Oaxaca, the MC3 missions team. And one of the things that you do if you're going on a plane is the pre-flight briefing, as they call it. They talk about the oxygen mask. In the event of cabin depressurization, an oxygen mask will fall. And they tell you to put on your mask first before helping others. And I've said this to you a billion times, and the importance of that concept of, but what it's about is that it sounds cruel, like, why don't I help my child? But the point is that if you are not able to breathe yourself first, you could pass out before helping your child, before helping someone around you. And so you're useless to no one. And as Danny said, you know, someone's trying to rush into a fire, now you're going to have two casualties. So this idea of giving up something now makes sense in a lot of areas, but yet when it comes to living our daily lives, we don't. We're all about now. And at the end of this morning, I'm going to talk about some of the things that are being thrown at us to make us live for now and get it now and what I want now and my way and all that stuff. But I want this concept to sink in, because over the course of these next 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about making a choice now for the sake of something later. We need to start cheating. And there are hard decisions, and again, I'll come back to that. Hard decisions now that are going to benefit you later. I want to look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Just to give you a little background, if you get your Bibles out there, if you have paper, or if you can go to the YouVersion app and tap on Ephesians, New Testament, Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to 17. Last week, we talked about you don't know who God is going to change during the You Don't Know Jack series. And we looked at this guy, Saul Paul. He started out as Saul, and he was the persecutor of the church, an awful guy, killing people, doing everything he can for anybody that was following Jesus. God changed him, and he became Paul and grew to be this great missionary, this great man of God, who wrote most of the New Testament. And Ephesians is one of the books that he wrote. It was actually a letter to a church that he planted in a town called Ephesus. And the way these letters worked is basically there was something, you know, whether there was a situation going on that he had to respond to, or maybe he was just checking in, because basically he's planted the church, he wanted to follow up, how are things going? And so the book of Ephesians is a letter to the church at Ephesus that Paul wrote. And in this particular letter, there's a bunch of things he was talking about, but in the context here, in this section, he was talking to them about how they are children of light. Because of what Jesus did in their lives, they are different now. Very similar to what we talked about a few weeks ago with the idea of the keys and being released from your cage. You have been given the keys to get out. You are different. Do not live in your cage any longer. You are children of light. You have been enlightened, if you will, by Jesus. So stop living in darkness, was his point. And that's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. So he keeps kind of pressing this issue over and over. Like, stop living that way. You don't need to be in darkness anymore. You've been set free. Live in the light. You have the light in you. The light is Jesus. And he says, live that way. And then he continues here in verse 15 saying, therefore. So he's following up. Because you live in the light, because you have been set free from Jesus, therefore, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. And so Paul is setting up, because you guys are children of light, because you are followers of Jesus, because there is something different about you, because before you were in prison, you were in slavery to your sin, destined for hell, you were on your way to hell till Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And then we sang a bunch of awesome songs about that this morning. And because he rose again, which is a good place to sing songs about that on church. But because he rose again, we, as becoming, when we choose to follow Jesus, when we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we have been set free from that. We are children of light now. And he says, therefore, as children of light, as followers of Jesus, as people that are different now, be careful how you live. He says, and this word, this phrase comes up a couple times in these couple verses. Not as unwise, but as wise. Later he says, do not be foolish, but be wise. See, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus and telling us as followers of him today that we need to be wise in how we live. We need to make every moment, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but we need to make every moment count so that we are living as Christ has called us to live. And that means taking, sometimes, and that will mean making the hard decisions now that will benefit you later. So So let's look at this a little bit, this idea of living wisely. The first thing when it comes to living wisely, Paul tells us is to be intentional. Be on purpose. Don't be accidental. Be intentional. Live your life on purpose. Live every moment on purpose. And that's what he says here at the beginning of the verse. He says, therefore, it's kind of hard to see that, sorry. Be very careful how you live. And this, first of all, the word be, like we know what be means. It's actually a Greek word that means, you know, watch closely. Observe. Observe carefully. Take note of. I mean, it's not just kind of like, eh. He says, be very careful. And it's tied to this word, very careful, which means accurately or carefully. So he says, watch carefully. Observe with purpose, intentionally. Be very careful how you live. Saying every moment that you live your life, every breath you take, everything you do, Paul says here that we are supposed to be intentional about it. We're supposed to be very careful how we live. We need to watch closely. And I think most of us just kind of live life like we're just on the, you know, going for the ride. Wherever things take us, then we'll go there. And obviously, you know, in our Wounded series, we talked about that. Sometimes hard times come. And I'm not saying that those things won't happen. And I'm not saying that we're going to be caught up sometimes in things. But I think many of us are just kind of like waiting for the next whatever. And not being intentional about how we live. And we're waiting, and I think as a Christ follower, right, and I've heard this concept before, you know, we're waiting for God to show me something, for God to do something in me. I'm just waiting, living my thing, and God, I will start to follow you when you show up and do something for me. Or God, I'll start, you know, when something amazing happens, then maybe I'll follow you. And the point Paul is making is don't just sit around and wait. If we're going to live wisely, if we're going to be intentional about how we live, then we're going to make every moment count. And we're going to take time to observe carefully, to watch what's going on. And I think that there's so many things that happen and we just kind of let them go. I mean, missed opportunities to maybe say something. I'm getting ahead of myself again. But a chance to do something that could be a spectacular moment. Could be a moment where God comes through and God does something incredible, but we're just kind of like, eh, and just let it go. And Paul says, don't live that way. Don't live by accident. Be intentional. Make every moment count. And he says, not as unwise, but as wise. And this word wise, and this is where we're coming back to this idea of what does it mean to live wisely? Why is Paul telling us to live wisely? I mean, we talk about it. Like wise means some old guy with a big beard on top of a mountain. Because that's what wisdom is. But wise, it's a really cool word. In case you care, it's a Greek word, and it's sophos. Sophos or sophos. Sophia is a word that's related to that, that means knowledge, means wisdom. And the word doesn't just mean knowing a lot of stuff, which is so beautiful about this, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff, and I'm not one of those people. And I don't say this arrogantly, but I'm sure some of you are sitting there like, oh, well, you studied in Bible college, so you know the Bible, and you have a master's degree from seminary, so you know all that stuff. And if that's your excuse for not following Jesus, then you've missed it, because I don't know either, right? Because the word wisely doesn't mean to know a lot of stuff. It means to apply what you do know. And that's it's a freeing concept to me. Because it doesn't mean I need to know everything there is to know about God. Because I will never, ever know everything there is to know about God. But it does mean that what I do know, that I need to apply that. If I know that I shouldn't be in that place, then don't go to that place. If I know that this relationship is unhealthy, then I need to be out of that relationship. If I know I shouldn't be saying those things, then don't say those things. Following up on what I know is called living wisely. It doesn't mean I know everything. It doesn't mean I have the entire Bible memorized, which I do, from beginning to end. I've got the books down. but it's not an issue of knowing. Do you get that? And it's not an issue of sitting there saying, well, if I knew as much as them. Anyway, the point is that we don't know everything, and we're not going to know everything, and we can't let that be an excuse for not following Jesus. We can't let that be an excuse for not living how God has called us to live. Because Paul says, you have been set free. You're children of light. Therefore, live wisely. Therefore, apply what you know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Now, again, there's importance to learning and to growing. And that's part of what we try to accomplish in the worship experience. That's part of the congregation aspect of what MC3 is all about. Because they learned from the apostles in the early church. And we are today learning. You guys learn in your primary school. There's something to that, definitely. Don't give that up. But don't let that hold you back from doing what God has called you to do, because I don't know as much. If only I knew that much. And if you've been following Jesus for 24 days or 24 minutes, you have been given enough to live wisely. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, be careful how you live. Be intentional about the way you are living. Don't live unwisely. Apply what you know. Do it. Do things on purpose. And it's not going to happen by accident. Do you get that? Like, you can't just, it's not an accidental thing. Living wisely means you're being intentional about it. It means when you see a moment where you need to do something, you do it. When you see a moment that you know you shouldn't do it, you don't do it. That is the idea of being intentional and living wisely. The second thing that Paul says in here is that we need to act now. Act now. And again, I kind of ran into this already, as I mentioned a moment ago. But the idea to act now. He says, be intentional. Observe carefully. Watch every situation. Look at what you're going through and dealing with. And saying, how am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to be wise here? And knowing that this is what I should do, the next step is doing it, is acting on it. And I think this is another spot that hangs us up. Because we know I should do that. Or we know I shouldn't do that. We know this is what God has called me to do. And yet we don't do it. And this kind of comes back into this unintentional thing. We just kind of sit and drift and say, well, I know I'm supposed to do it. And I won't do the opposite because that would be sin. So I'll just ignore it and let that moment pass. And that's not living wisely. That's not what God has called us to do. That's being a fool. He says we need to act now. And in the second part of this passage in verse 16, Paul says, taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. This taking advantage, it means to make the most of, to not allow a moment to be wasted. He says, be careful how you live. Observe carefully the way you're living and be wise in what you do. Act on what you know. Take advantage of every opportunity. When there's an opportunity in front of you to live for Jesus, then do it. When there's an opportunity for you to say something to someone that needs a word of encouragement, then say it. If there's something that you need to do for the sake of someone to help them, then do it. If you know that that is what God has called you to do, Paul says, take advantage of every opportunity. Do not allow a moment to be wasted. And again, we're drifting. We just kind of do our thing. But Paul says, look, you're going to have to make some hard decisions now. For the sake of later. If you want to live wisely, there's some opportunities now in front of you that you need to jump on. And it might be hard, but it's going to benefit you later. If you know that that's what God's calling you to do, then do it. Take advantage of every opportunity. It reminds me of, I watched the, what's it called? Pirates of the Caribbean. The first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and if you haven't seen it, I don't know. I don't care. but it was a long time ago. I was going to give you a spoiler, but there isn't really a big spoiler at the end. I'd say they all die, but that's actually the reverse of the movie. But anyway, there's a spot where Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow, if you were here last week for our movie trivia, Captain Jack Sparrow tells Will Turner to wait for the opportune moment. And you know, there's this kind of this little gag running throughout the movie of what is that opportune moment? And it's just, you know, there's, and at the end you're like, oh, that was the opportune moment. And of course he saves the day. But that's kind of the exact same thing that Paul is talking about. Take advantage of every opportunity. Wait for the right moment, that significant moment. These are the moments. And I truly believe this. And I really appreciate Kendra's prayer. I mean, God is so gracious with us. We fail. We know we're supposed to do something, and yet we don't. And we miss opportunities. And God is still patient with us. God doesn't give up on us. God says, I still love you. And I love that. But I think that there's somehow in the way that works, there's significant moments where God has called us to do maybe some hard things. And because they're hard, we don't take advantage of that moment and we miss out on something later. And, you know, we've talked about this a couple weeks back, but kind of the MC3 story, and you're going to hear some more of the elders share their story in July. But, you know, there was a significant moment in front of me and my family. There was an opportunity that was there. Do we stay or do we go? Do we step out and drop our salary and just trust that this is what God is calling us to do, even though it doesn't really make sense on paper? Or do we just kind of, well, let's let that opportunity pass and keep going? And I'll tell you what, I could have done that. It would have been easy. It really would have. I mean, there are times where I'm like, man, I wish I had an office that had climate control. Honestly, I come in there in the morning and I've got a jacket on and I'm freezing and I turn the heat on. And by the time the heat is finally compensated, it's like 90 degrees in there because the sun's shining on the roof. I mean, like, I'm not whining, and please don't show up next week with an air conditioner or something like that. But you know what I mean? Like there are these moments where I could have just said, no, I'm going to keep living my easy life, my easy job. And again, sometimes that's what God has called us to do, and that's okay. But there's these moments that are put before us where we have to choose. Do we do the hard thing now for the sake of later? I mean, could you all just raise your hand? Raise your hand. I'm telling you to raise your hand right now. I'm telling you to. You are a part of the later. Do you get that? You are a part of the later. You can put your hands down. You, because of a significant moment, and again, please, this is not about Sean Finch, but because of a significant moment that happened 4 years ago, a few years back, we are now able to watch Jesus work in people's lives because of that choice. And many of you were a part of that journey. And that was a hard decision for the sake of later. That was something, taking advantage of an opportunity, a significant moment now for the sake of later. If God is calling you to do something, don't waste the opportunity. If God, and it might be something big, it might be something little. It might be just a little decision that you need to make. You know what, I should not go to that place. I shouldn't watch that show. I shouldn't hang out with that person. I should quit this job. I should go to that country. I don't know. I don't know what it is in front of you, but whether it's big or little, Paul's saying, look, you've got Jesus in you. You are living, you're children of light. So don't waste the moment. Be careful how you live. Live wisely. Apply what you know and take advantage of every opportunity. He says, because these days are evil. And basically, and we'll come back to this in a little bit, but this idea that, you know, if you just drift and let the world tell you where and how to go, it's not going to take you closer to Jesus. And if you're not interested in being closer to Jesus, then that's okay. Some people, you know, we're at different spots in our journey here. But I'm telling you, the world is not going to take you closer to Jesus. It's going to take you further away from Him. And so Paul says, look, take advantage of every opportunity, because if you're just drifting, these days are evil. The world is evil. Things are not going to draw you closer to Jesus. So you need to act now. You got to know what the wise choices means, applying it. So do it now. Don't wait till later. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let it drift by. If you know what you should do, then do it. Then act. And again, it might be hard. And that's okay, because as we'll see in a moment, it's bringing us closer to God. It's bringing us closer to becoming more like Jesus. And that is better than what we want right now. I guarantee you. What God wants for your life is way better than what you want for your life. And that might sound, well, how does He know? Well, I can tell you how He knows. He created you, knit you together in your mother's womb and all that stuff. But even just this idea of it's sin, I mean, taints us. We think we know better. But God, what God wants for you is best, which kind of leads me to the next part of living wisely, and that's following Jesus. Living wisely means being intentional about every moment. It means watching, observing, making sure that we see what we need to do and do it, and then taking advantage of that opportunity, then acting on it, and in doing that, following Jesus. This is what he says at the end of that little passage we're looking at in verse 17. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. He's saying, if you want to be wise, do what God wants you to do. And this idea of what the Lord's will. And if you grew up in church world, if you grew up in a church, you probably heard like, is it the Lord's will? If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to do that. And I'm just waiting for the Lord's will. And how do I know what God's will is for my life? And how can I find God's will? And this whole idea of God's will. And Brian talked about this last summer. I forget who he was that, Moses? In the Hero series, talked about Moses. And we get caught up in this, like, I'm waiting for God's will. And Paul says, look, doing and following and taking those steps, you're going to find God's will. It's not this secret hidden thing. Because understanding what the Lord's will is means that God wants, and maybe I should define the word will, because it's God's pleasure. It's what God loves to do. That's His will. His will is for us to be following Him, not because He's arrogant, but because what He has in mind for us is the best thing for us. And so He says, don't be foolish. Be wise by understanding that what God has for you, His will for you, is to follow Him, because following Him is the best thing that you can do. And so that means that sometimes doing a hard thing now, taking advantage of an opportunity now, might be hard. And we're like, oh, well, God wouldn't want me to hurt. You know, what's the thing that God will never give you more than you can bear? God wouldn't want me to suffer. I mean, the Bible is full of people suffering for God. And yet, those are the people that are coming, that are growing closer to following Him. And so what Paul is getting at here is that if you understand, just you don't have to understand every little point, every little amazing thing about God. Just understand that God's will for you is to follow Him. That's the big picture. And so that's going to look different for each person. I do not encourage all of you to quit your jobs and plant a church in Mifflin County. We'd have a hard time. But maybe there's something that God is calling you to do. And maybe it's big, maybe it's little. Maybe it's a decision that you need to make. And the point is that the foolish person says, no, I want my way. I want to do what I want. I want me. But if you are wise, you understand that God's will, that His plan for you, that what He has in mind for you is better for you in the short term and in the long term. So that's what Paul's talking about. And to live wisely, you need to be intentional about every moment. You need to act on those moments that you see and follow Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what following Jesus is all about. Following Jesus is all about following Jesus. It's doing those little things you need to do. It's not big, grand, like, moments, and there are some of those, but a lot of times it's just the little steps of doing what is right. And Paul says that is wisdom. Wisdom is following Jesus. That is what God's will is for your life. God's will for your life is for you to do what He wants you to do. And I know I'm totally setting up a circular argument, because I'm not here to tell you this is what God wants for you to do. I can't answer that, except for His Word, the Bible. That's God's instruction to us. But that's the idea of living wisely and understanding what God's will is, what the Lord's will, what Jesus' will is for us. It's not what your will is for you, because your will is going to be messed up. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to go to therapy for me saying that. But you don't know what's best for you. I don't know what's best for me, but God does. Your friends, and we'll come back to this in a moment, your friends don't know what's best for you. Well, my friends know me for years. That's great. Friends are good. But God is the one that knows what's best for you when it comes down to it. Oprah doesn't know what's best for you. Your political party doesn't know what's best for you. What other things do I have here? Cool people. Maybe you're younger, like, oh, those people, I want to fit in. Maybe you're old and you want to fit in. Maybe you're old and you want to stand out. I don't know. The point is, nobody knows what's best for you. We think, Proverbs actually talks about it in the Bible, you know, getting insight, getting advice from wise people. That's cool. I'm not saying don't listen to anybody. I'm not saying go live in a hole. Don't become, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, episode 4, living by himself, Star Wars. You don't have to do that. You can live with other people. But understand that God's will, God's direction, God's guidance for your life is better than anybody else's advice. Somehow, as that comes together. Am I totally like going, what the heck did he say all morning? But because I don't want to answer the question for you because I can't. I don't want to stand up here and say, these are the shows you should watch. Or these are this is the music you should not listen to. Or these are the candidates you shouldn't vote for. Like, you know what you should do. And if you don't, keep studying. If you're not sure, pray, ask God, get wisdom, get advice from other people. But when you do know what you should do, then do it. That's living wisely. That's following Jesus. That's making that decision. Because all these other people around you, they're not God. They don't know what's best for you the way he does. So the question, I think, is a great way to ask, just in general, when you're facing a decision before you, a lot of times we like to ask the question, and I totally stole this, by the way, from Andy Stanley. He has a book called Choosing to Cheat, and that's kind of what inspired this whole series. I'll throw it on our Facebook page this week so you can look at it. But the question, he says, you know, a lot of times we ask, is this right or wrong? Or how far can I go before that's inappropriate? Or what are the things I can do? And right or wrong is not a bad question. Please, don't miss that. But perhaps a better question is asking, is this the wise thing to do? Because sometimes something is not wrong, but it's not the wisest thing to do. Does that make sense? There's in that gray area, just question, you know, is this the wisest thing to do? Is this the way I should spend my time? Is that, let me just make it very simple. You know, you're watching TV, and it's a good TV show, and they're teaching you about Jesus. Okay, it's a Jesus TV show. And you're watching Jesus TV show, and there's nothing wrong with watching a show about Jesus. But what if in that moment you have a child, a son or daughter that says, hey, can we play ball outside? And your response could be, well, I'm watching a show about Jesus. And I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. Is there anything wrong with watching a show about Jesus? No. But the wise thing to do might be to invest some time in your child. Invest some time with your son or daughter. Might be. It might be, I've been playing ball for 80 hours, and I need to learn about Jesus. So maybe that's what you need to do. But just ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? And, of course, we'll come back to this concept of making some choices as far as parents down the road here in this series. But that's the question to ask. Is this the wise thing to do? So the point is that you need to start cheating. And start making the hard decisions now that will benefit you later. There are going to be a lot of hard decisions. Following Jesus is not always easy. It's not. And Jesus never promised it would be. I love one of the lines that Jesus says to his disciples. You know, the guys that have them all gathered together, the guys that are following Jesus with him day in and day out. He says, guys, it's pep rally. I've got their little, like, those little long things they use in football games or soccer games. Or, you know, what do they call those? A Zumba Roomba? Is that whatever? Hazazazala. Exactly. So they've got that. They're getting all the confetti's falling. And then Jesus is like, okay, pep rally. Guys, in this world, you will have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. Wow, all right. Good to know. Then, of course, he says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And that's what we're singing about. That's what we can celebrate. That's why Paul can say, you're children of the light. You don't need to walk in the darkness anymore. It's going to be hard. You might have to make hard decisions now that are going to benefit you later, but do it. Because that's what's really going to matter. We need to cheat. We need to stop doing what's expected now and start doing what we need to do now, even though it's hard, for the sake of later. We need to start putting on the equipment, because not wearing the fire equipment is not going to benefit you later. But taking that time, that training, is going to help rescue someone else, keep you alive. Do you get it? It's a lot of weight, a lot of time that's put into that, but it's important for the sake of later. So, I said I'd come back to this. Paul talks about how the days are evil, and I said that if we just drift, if we just let the world direct, and the world sounds very pastorally, but if we just let the world, if we let culture determine where we go, we're not going to follow closer to God. You're not. As spiritual as people might sound, as neat as that little meme on Facebook looks, and there's, oh, look, there's 7,842 people that like it. Therefore, it must be true. That is not going to bring you close to Jesus, because these days are evil. And that's what Paul's saying. And today, you know, here we are 2,000 years later, some give or take. These days are evil. The world is not going to draw you close to Jesus. And I just want to call out a couple things. And I might step on your toes. And if that's the case, I do have big feet. But I'm wearing light shoes today. I've got new sneakers. See, I'm $9 at Walmart. Clearance. I mean, at an undisclosed retail store in the area. Kmart probably has sneakers, too. There. Now we covered all of them. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, I want to step on your toes because some of the things that are just out there, and I want you to understand that when it comes to making decisions for later, a lot of times the advice, the things that are out there, the things that we're told, they're not biblical and they're not going to draw you closer to Jesus. Because I think sometimes we hear these things, we say these things, someone else says them to us, and we kind of want to go along with it because a lot of times, to be honest, a lot of times it gets us out of making a hard decision now. A lot of times these things that I'm going to share here in a moment, it's easier for us to be like, oh, well, in that case, I don't have to do the hard thing now. I can just go through the easy part. But that's kind of the world, that's culture talking and telling you, here's what you should do. And if we do that, it's not going to draw us closer to Jesus, as Paul said, because these days are evil. The world is evil. We are, you know, people are evil as a whole. We're sinful people. We still sin, even though Jesus has changed our lives, if we're followers of him. And we're going to until he returns, till we die and are with him. But the point is that if we let culture determine how we do things and just drift with that, we're going to have some problems because these days are evil. So here's the first thing. I think this happens all the time. I see this on Facebook. I see it around. And this is the phrase that, and I think it's, I don't know, it's just a thing. That this this phrase that says, it's okay, hun. You see the it's okay, hun thing? It's okay, hun. You see that on Facebook all the time. And usually it comes as a response to something like, oh, man, my husband's being such a jerk. And I know that I've been committed to him in marriage for all these years, but it's time for me to leave it. And usually someone will say, oh, it's okay, hun. You don't need him. Just dump your marriage. Oh, man, people are giving me a hard time because you know, I'm sleeping around with all these different people and everybody's calling me, you know, names and calling me a hoe and all this stuff. Oh, it's okay, hon. You don't worry about them. Like, and I know they meant to be encouragement, but a lot of times that says, oh, well, because my friend says it's okay, hon, then I can just go along with it. I want you to know that it's not okay, hon. Now, no matter what you do, you are forgiven no matter what you have done, and no matter how many opportunities God puts in front of you for you to follow him, and he says go this way, and you go this way, he still loves you, he still offers mercy, and Jesus can say, it's okay, hon, because I love you, I died on the cross for you. But your friends are not your excuse not to make the hard decision now for the sake of later. It's not okay, hon. There are things that you need to change, and I don't care how many friends post a like to your comment, it doesn't matter what they think because these days are evil. If you want to be wise, you need to understand what the Lord's will is, what God's will is for you, what Jesus wants you to do, and do that. That is living wisely. That is cheating now for the sake of later. The other things to know. We're in a culture, we're in America. Things are instant. I mean, what were we saying yesterday? I was complaining about something. I'm like, isn't that so? Oh, well, we bought dirt. I bought bags of dirt. And I was thinking, you know, because we had our missions team meeting last week for our MC3 team to Oaxaca. And, you know, we're going to go to a third world country, to an area that has all sorts of issues. And I'm sure I would love to just sit down with some of those kids that are in the feeding program and say, yeah, somewhere in America, there's a factory, takes dirt, puts it in bags, seals it up, ships it to some other store, and then I go to that store, and I buy the dirt in the bag, and then I take the dirt in the bag to my house, rip open the bag, and pour the dirt all over the ground. Yeah, so we're in a different culture. They're like, what? Like, Can I sell dirt? I've got dirt here. I mean, you know, just how weird that is. You think about that. Like, I am buying dirt in a bag. But anyway, but one of the things that the American culture has changed for us is this idea of now and instant. And obviously, you know, any of you could send a text right now because I forgot to turn my volume down and my phone would make a sound. You could Facebook message me instantly. I get these things. This is technology. It's now, now, now. But I want you to understand that this now concept has infiltrated, has affected the way we live for Jesus. Because we think we deserve now. And obviously what we're saying about cheating is that the hard decision now is going to benefit you later. So I want you to understand that you don't deserve it now. You don't deserve it. Oh, well, I need this now. I need to buy this thing. I use my credit card to buy this thing because I need it now. I'm going to jump into this relationship because I need it now. You don't. The only thing you deserve now, if we want to get into this, and I've talked about this before, the only thing you deserve now is hell. That's what you deserve. Jesus has rescued us from that. But I think that thinking has affected our, well, I don't want to make a hard decision now and have to go through a challenge now for the sake of later, because I deserve now. I want to do something easy now so it'll benefit me now for the sake of now. And you don't deserve it now. Like, we've got to get over this American thinking. I mean, we're Americans, and again, I've got my smartphone in my pocket, and it connects me to everything instantly. But when it comes to following Jesus, it doesn't work that way. Make sense? I hope so. Just pretend like it does and nod your head. But you don't deserve it now, because that has affected the way, when it comes to following Jesus, we will sometimes give up a hard decision now because we think, why would I want to do something now, hard, for the sake of later? Because I just want what I want now. That actually makes sense. So, second thing is you don't deserve it now. Here's a really just, and I know that this is, and we kind of joked about it earlier on the how to cheat at tip thing there. But here's something, and this is just, and I'm going to blow your mind here. Now, I told you, I do have all these degrees, and I've gone to Bible college, and I do have, well, not all the Bible words memorized, but at least the books of the Bible. So I am a genius, and I am much smarter than you. So if you need to just take a moment to soak in my great wisdom, you can. But here it comes. Sometimes work is hard work. Yeah, I felt a sink in there. Sometimes work is hard work. Sometimes work is work. Sometimes work is not easy. Sometimes work requires work. Do you get it? Because somehow I think we've been affected by culture because of these days are evil. We think that work shouldn't be hard. Work should be easy. Work shouldn't be work. Somebody should just show up at my house every morning and say, here's your paycheck, sir. Please enjoy your day. But work is hard work. And we've allowed this to affect us so that we aren't willing to do the hard work. I got fired the other day. Why'd you get fired? They made me work. But work is hard work, and that's affected our thinking when it comes to following Jesus, because we think, well, because I don't have to work, and I don't want to do the hard work, why should I have to work hard to follow Jesus? But I want you to know that work is hard work, and this happened way back in the fall. Not like autumn, but in the fall of man, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, God said to Adam, look, you're cursed because you disobeyed me. Is that this ground, this was once producing fruit for you and was easy to work. He said, now it's going to be hard work. You're going to have to sweat your butt off. And you're going to have to work hard because the ground isn't going to easily produce things for you. He said, from that moment on, work is going to be hard work. And that has affected us when it comes to following Jesus, because making a hard choice now is going to be hard work. And it's just important to understand that work is work. It requires work. And don't let that affect, you know, don't shy away from making a wise choice. Don't shy away from an opportunity that God has put in front of you because it might be hard. Because it might require work. Now, obviously, the other end of the spectrum is, you know, you can't work your way to God. You can't do more and make God love you more. We've talked about that plenty of times. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. But sometimes work is hard work, and sometimes what God has called you to do is going to be hard, and it's going to require work. And if God has called you to do it, because it might be hard now, but it's going to benefit you later. That's what God has called you to do. The fourth thing, And again, this is totally going to blow your mind again. But usually, sacrifice requires sacrifice. Usually, sacrifice requires sacrifice. When you are saying, I'm going to give up something, it usually means that you have to give up something. So, in our little illustration before, and please don't walk away here and say, I should never watch shows about Jesus. But, as I was talking about the TV, like, sometimes if God is calling you to spend more time with your family, maybe you need to sacrifice your TV. Well, I don't want to give up my TV. I'm willing to sacrifice for my family. No, you're not. Maybe sacrifice means giving up your electronical devices. Maybe, but that would be hard, but I need that. People need to stay in touch. No, they don't. But anyway, maybe they do. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if Jesus has called us to do something, if God has called you to do something, and you feel like this is a sacrifice that I'm going to make for God, it might require a sacrifice. You might have to give up something for the sake of following Jesus the way he wants you to. And again, culture is going to say, oh, it's okay, hon. Your kids will be fine without you. You watch your Jesus show. It's helping you grow. Sacrifice requires sacrifice. That's what Jesus was all about. I'm glad Jesus wasn't like, yes, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for all of humanity. Cross? What? No. That sounds like it's going to be painful. I have to give up my life. No, I'm okay. It's okay, hon. It's okay. I'm Jesus. Sorry, hon. I don't have to actually sacrifice. But that's the point, you know, because we just can't let culture determine where we go. Sacrifice is going to require sacrifice. Work is going to require work. You don't deserve it now, and it's not okay, hon. There are things, and again, all of these, there's more, I'm sure, that we let culture affect us. But the point being that you need to start cheating. Start cheating. Start now. Make the hard decisions now that will benefit you later. If God has called you to something, if it's big, if it's little, if it's doing the right thing, if it's not doing the wrong thing, then do it. If it's doing something that might be a wise choice, it's not right or wrong, but wisdom would say I should do that instead of this, then do it. Make the most of every opportunity. Live as not unwise, but as wise. We need to start cheating. Let's pray. God, I pray for us, and I know that I've been totally vague this morning. And I thank you that you, as followers of Jesus, if we have chosen to believe in you, chosen to follow you, we have your Holy Spirit in us. And he will guide us to do exactly what we need to do. And so I pray when it comes to this idea of cheating, when it comes to this idea of making the hard choices now, that you would make them clear to us, God. And if it's a big thing or a little thing, maybe it's just hundreds of little things that we need to do over the next week, over the next year. Maybe it's a big thing we need to do tomorrow. But that you would make it clear to us so that we can live wisely and so that we understand that your will for us is better than what we want. Your desire for us is perfect and our desire for us is tainted. So help us to avoid the voices, the crowd that's out there telling us how we should live and how we should do things differently and how we should get it now and how we shouldn't have to work or make hard sacrifices. Help us to do what you want and make your voice the one that we listen to. And God, the reason is because it's going to benefit us later because you want what's best for us. Help us to believe that and to watch it happen when we make the hard choices. In Jesus' name, amen.